So let's jump into our message today. We are continuing to talk about faith works. And wherever you are right now, I just want you to say faith works. All right, and so let's jump into our core text. We've been in this on Sundays. We've been in this in our faith fuels. 1 John 16:33, which says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then 1 John 5 verse 4 says this, for everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And so as you know, we've been using these as a launching pad for our discussions about faith. But we've talked about the fact that, number one, Jesus promised us in this world we are going to have trouble and tribulation. Now, I know that's not the promise that all of us want to stick up on our fridge. That's not the promise that all of us get really excited about. But Jesus did promise. He said, listen, in this world, you are going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation, but take heart. In other words, don't be discouraged. Don't be down. Why? Because I have overcome the world. But then in 1 John, same author, different book, not only has Jesus overcome the world, but he says anyone who's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. And so I just want to come back this morning once again, and I want to remind you of what God is saying to us in this season. Yes, we're in a challenging time. Yes, we're in a time of uncertainty. Yes, some of us are facing perhaps some difficult challenges or situations in our lives right now. But we are born of God. Jesus has overcome. That means you and I who've been born of God will overcome. And this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. This is not a time, family, for us to draw back. This is not a time for us to slow down. This is not a time for us to zone out. This is a time for us to believe even more. This is a time for us to press in an even greater way. And this is a time for us to take our stand of faith and say, God, we believe you. And God, we trust you. And God, we know that you know what is going on, and we know what you are doing. And so in this season, and I want to encourage you, even as we're doing and finishing this last week of our fasting and prayer, lean in, press in. Let's dive deeper into faith, because whatever comes in him, we win. And whatever comes in him, we overcome. Come on, somebody say, win, we win. That's right. We win in him. Now, last week, really quick, we talked about the fact about how vital our faith is in our Christian walk. And then we talked about the fact that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I'd really brought a challenge to us as a church family about how serious are you about the word of God in your life? Right? If we're going to walk in victory because of faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, how serious are we about the word? Because sometimes we want to have victory, we want to walk in faith, but we're not taking the time we need to with the word of God. And so that was my challenge to you last week. And I want to take this week, and I actually felt like, let's just dive even more deeply into a passion and a hunger for the word of God. Family, there is a grace in this season to hunger for the word of God. There is a grace in this season to go deeper in the word of God. There is opportunities in this season to go deeper in the word of God. And you know, I was thinking about it last week and just reflecting on my message, and I felt like I was so passionate in my message about calling us to be serious about the word and calling us to kind of, you know, have a personal, maybe even reality check about the word of God. But what I wanted to make sure was I wanted to double back and make sure that the message that came across was hunger for the word, but not that we just need to try harder. Right? Not that just we need to try harder. You need to kind of get yourself together and get in the word of God, because that's not the way the things of the kingdom works. See, in the kingdom, the key is not trying harder. The key is surrendering to an even greater degree to the Lord. The key is putting even more faith and trust in him. It is not a work of our flesh. And so even we talk about going deeper in the word, being hungry for the word, this is not something that's just like, come on, what's wrong with you? Get yourself together, suck it up, get in the word, even though sometimes maybe we feel that way. The real key is saying, Lord, I need your help to go deeper in the word. Father, I'm believing you for a greater hunger for the word. We do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? The Spirit of God is with us to equip us us and to help us. And so really the starting place is not just trying to get ourselves stirred up so we can try harder. The starting place is turning to him in an even greater way and say, Lord, help me to grow in my hunger for the word. Father, help me to grow in this season, in my passion for what you've said. Help me to grow in my disciplines, because I don't just want it to be a dry discipline, but I want it to be something that I delight in. I want to be someone who delights in your word. And so I just pray that over you, and I prophesy that over you today in the name of Jesus. In his name, we are growing in our hunger for the word. We are growing in our passion for the scriptures. In the name of Jesus, you are growing in discipline. You might be listening to me and saying, well, I'm just not that disciplined. I always struggle. Well, here's what the word of God says. The word of God says, God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, or of self-discipline. Even discipline, you can put your faith in him and say, help me to grow. And of course, do we have to do our part? Yes. But here's the key. His part is the big part. Our part is the little part. And so we want to put our faith in his part and what he's done. And then that empowers us to do our part. So let's talk a little bit more about the power of the word of God in our lives. Because remember, we're going to walk in victory because of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so I want to stir your passion for the word of God today, because one of the reasons why I found in my life and the life of many other people that we are not more passionate about the word of God is we don't have a revelation of what we actually hold. We don't have a revelation of what the word of God really actually is. Guys, it's not just some religious book. It's not just some guidebook to Christianity, even though it can help you in your Christianity. No, the word of God is so much more. And as we grow in our hunger and passion and our revelation of what the word of God is, we can't help but not put it. I mean, we're going to be in it. We are going to prioritize it. We're going to go after it. And so let's look at a few verses about the word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now I want you to see two words from this. It says the word of God, first and foremost, is living. Right? The word of God is living. Or if I could shift that a little bit, the word of God carries the life of God. Right? God's life is in his words. Right? His eternal Zoe life is in his words. And when you get in the word and the word gets in you, it's not just a head concept that you are now getting a hold of, or more knowledge or information, even though I think those things are good. But in its essence, the word of God contains the life of God. The word of God contains his Zoe life. And when you get in the word and the word gets in you, his life gets in you. The more you're in the word, the more you are exposing yourself to the life of God. And the life of God, that Zoe eternal life, changes everything. But his word is living. And not only is his word living, but it says his word is powerful. Somebody say powerful. His word is powerful. In other words, it's full of power, right? A lot of times in our Christian walk, we are struggling for what we see as a lack of power, right? We're not seeing things that we want to see, or maybe we're not feeling like we're seeing our prayer requests answered, or we're not seeing healing come, or we're not seeing, and obviously we talk a lot, healing schools, we teach on these things. There's lots of different factors that can play in. But let me encourage you in this. Many times, it's simply a lack of the reality of the word of God. Why? Because his word is full of power. And the more that you and I are full of his word, the more that you and I are full of his power. The more that we are full of his word, the more we'll see his power manifest in our lives. It's not just like it's a magical formula, but his word is full of power. And so the more that you and I are filled with the word, the more we encounter the power of God. Come on, somebody say his word is living. Come on, somebody say his word is powerful. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, obviously, there's a lot from this verse we can look at, but I want you to see these words, breathed out by God. In other words, God didn't just... God didn't just kind of have people write his words. There's literally the power of what's called his breath, or he is breathed out. Everyone is breathed out by him. Now, when I looked at this word, it actually reminded me of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And so if you look there for a second, it's talking about when God made Adam and Eve. And in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now notice here, it's interesting because we're talking about God's word being living. We're talking about God's word being full of power. And there's an interesting dynamic here in Genesis, because everything else that God created, he just said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let there be, you know, sky and earth," and there was. He said, "Let there be animals," and as he spoke them, they happened. There's a whole power of words in that, the power of his word. But with Adam and Eve, what he did was he did something different. Obviously, Eve was formed out of the side of Adam, but with Adam, he literally formed him out of the dust of the ground. And then we don't know exactly what this looks like. Like when I get to heaven, there's a lot of things I'm going to want to kind of watch the video for. But he breathed the breath of life into Adam, and Adam became a living spirit. He became a living being. Why? Because of the breath of God. Right? And there's a whole understanding around this, the power of the breath of God and how spirit realm operates so often through the breath. And so there's some interesting dynamics here. I'm not going too far down the road, but here's what I want you to see. The same breath that formed Adam is the same breath that is breathed into the scriptures. In other words, what truly brought Adam life was not just the fact that he was formed of dust, but there was the breath of God that brought life. And in the same way, the breath of God is something that brings us life on a regular basis. And that comes through the word of God. That's why it says in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Do you see this today? The word of God is living. The word of God is powerful. It is full of power. The word of God is God breathed. And you have an opportunity every day to get this word into your life and to get the breath of God into your life. But God doesn't force it on you. He puts it there for you. And he says, "Will you partake of my word? Will you fill yourself with my word?" See, if we're going to walk by faith, we need to walk in the life of God. We need to walk in the power of God. We need to walk in the breath of God. We don't have to do it in our own strength, but this comes from the word. Let's look at another passage here. I want to just get you a few more passages to fire you up about the word of God in your life. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, "Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." See, we have that living word phrase once again. But what I love about this is the Bible talks about the word of God like it is an imperishable seed. Or another translation says this, it is a supernatural seed. So we've seen that the word of God is living. We've seen that the word of God is full of power. We've seen that the word of God is God breathed. The very breath of God that even formed us is in his word. And now we see that the word of God is a supernatural seed. Now, several thoughts on this. I don't know if anyone here gardens. We don't really have a place to garden, but this summer my wife decided she wanted to grow some things on our back porch. So we got one of our church members kind of blessed us with some stuff. We got some of those kind of big troughs, whatever, on the back porch, and she picked some different crops, and it was really going very well until some demonic squirrels showed up and they ate a bunch of her. So we need some strategy to deal with those demonic squirrels next year, because those demonic squirrels kind of took out our harvest. But see, the point I want you to get, besides the demonic squirrels, I mean, I don't know if you walk around Toronto. We've got some hardcore, crazy squirrels here in Toronto. Anywhere else you go, they run away from you. In Toronto, they'll run at you. They will charge you. We have some crazy squirrels in Toronto. But beyond our crazy squirrel problem and issue here in the city, this is why I'm going after the seed. You take this little seed and you put it in the ground, and then you give it the right nutrients, and you give it the right time, and you keep the demonic squirrels away and everything else in between. But when you do that, all of a sudden this seed transforms, and it grows into what it was supposed to be. Right? So I'm trying to remember some of what we did. There was some melons, and there was some cucumbers. Right? So you take the cucumbers, you take this little seed, But there is not just a cucumber in that seed. There are several cucumbers in that seed, but through the power of multiplication, if you will plant that seed and grow that seed, and then take the seeds from the cucumbers and plant more seeds, you literally have the potential for unlimited cucumbers in one seed. Now that is just a natural seed. Catch this picture though, because the Word of God is a supernatural seed. In other words, the Word of God on healing contains the power, it's full of power for healing in your life, right? The Word of God regarding salvation is full of power for salvation in your life. It starts small. It starts insignificant. It may start where it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But if you plant it, right? And in our lives, you plant it in your heart. You get it in there and then you guard it. You keep it. You water it by continuing to be in it. That seed will produce in your life. Right, God has given you supernatural seed in His Word, but how many of us are struggling, are lacking, are not seeing things we want to see, and we're going, God, I just don't understand what's going on. God's like, listen, I gave you the seed right there. Right, I've called you to do your part. I've called you to sow it in your heart. I've called you to water it and to guard it and to keep it. But if you get that supernatural seed in your heart and you stay faithful and you persevere, it will not come back empty. It will produce what I said it is going to produce. How many of us have the answer right here in the Word, but we're not planting it in our hearts? Right? That's why it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, because when you hear it, it gets in your heart and it starts to grow, and it starts to grow up faith. Do you see with all this that I'm sharing why it is so damaging to your Christian walk and you live at such a lower level than what God called you to if you're only in the Word once a week on a Sunday and you're still on your phone during the message and hardly even paying attention to it and so forth? You wonder why you're not seeing the fullness of what God has, right? What if you said, I'm going to sow this seed every day. I'm going to get so serious about this in my life. How would it transform your life when the supernatural seed of the Word of God is getting in the soil of your heart and you are sticking up, right? You're not just doing it for 3 days. You're not just doing it for 3 weeks. You're not even just doing it for 3 months, but you're pressing in and watch what God does. This is the power of the Word. Let me share one more verse with you here. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Guys, there is no word that goes out of His mouth that is going to return to Him empty. I grew up on the New King James of the King James that said, there's no word that proceedeth out of His mouth that shall return void. That is the power in the Word of God. Yeah, it may not look like a lot. Sometimes we just see, well, it's just a book, and maybe for some of us, I don't even understand parts of it, but you've got to understand this Word that you have, whether you've got an old paper Bible and you're kind of old school, whether you've got it on your phone or on your device, this Word of God is living. This Word of God is powerful. This Word of God is God-breathed. This Word of God is a supernatural seed. And God said, I've released this Word out of my mouth, and it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I sent it to accomplish. But God is looking for people who will believe His Word. God is looking for people who will prioritize His Word. God is looking for people who will get in His Word until His Word gets in them. And then they speak His Word, and they get in His Word, and His Word gets in them. Will we be people who prioritize the Word of God? Because it will not return void. It will succeed in that which He sent it to do. But He's looking for someone who's going to stand with Him and stand with His Word. Will you and I be those people? See, guys, one of the most important things in the kingdom for us to grab is that there are so many key things that God has already given to us, but we have a responsibility to walk them out. Right? There's so much that Christ has done for us, but it doesn't just happen by default. It doesn't just happen by accident. It takes us engaging and believing and walking it out. Someone would say, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God in this area. Here's my response. God's waiting on you. Right? God has done what he wants to do. You don't have to wait on him. Yes, there's times where we have to have patience and perseverance. But with this idea of the word, guys, he is waiting on you. He is looking for those who are going to say, I'm going to a new level in this season of diving into the word of God. I'm going to a new level in this season of digging into the word of God, of meditating in the word of God. If your faith level is going to be directly connected to your word level, where are the men and the women that say, you know what? I'm just going to go for this thing. I'm going to go for this because I'm going to walk in faith and I'm going to walk in what God has for me. Maybe you're listening to me and you're like a younger believer. You're a newer Christian and you've kind of bought into this mindset that's like, well, you know, I just can't expect too much of it. No, listen, God is just looking for faithfulness. God is looking for hunger. God is looking for people who are saying, you know what? I'm going to change from having the Bible be something that's kind of just like a little side hustle, a little extra hobby that I get into every once in a while. And I'm literally going to live by faith, which means I'm going to live by the word. I am going to be in the word on a daily basis. How serious do you want to be about the word? Because there's no glass ceiling here, guys. There's no glass ceiling in God. There's no glass ceiling in the kingdom. Right? In our world, yes, there are glass ceilings. In our world, there are things that can kind of stop you. Now, with God, you can still overcome those things. But there's no glass ceiling in the kingdom. There is no, well, you've only been a Christian for 2 years, so you just have to stay at this level. No, spiritual maturity has nothing to do with how long chronologically, time-wise, you've been a Christian. It has to do with how serious will you be about the word? How serious will you be about going after God? And how serious will you be not only of hearing the word, but doing and obeying the word? Who is going to step it up in this season? Right? That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you. Let's look at a verse from Jeremiah 15, 16. And Jeremiah 15, 16 says this, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Isn't that a good verse? I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Let me read it to you again. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Now, it's interesting. I want you to catch the dynamics of this. When Jeremiah was saying this and declaring this, it didn't start at the word being a joy and the word being a delight. Right? Catch that. It didn't start, because many of us, if we're honest, we're listening and we're going, no, I hear you, Pastor Brent. I don't know. I just have such a hard time reading the Bible. Or maybe you're just like, I don't even like reading. I never liked reading. I don't like books. Maybe some of you just see a book and you kind of shudder a little bit. It's like, oh, you know, it's a book. And you're saying like, I hear you, but I'm struggling with this. But see, here's the dynamics again. There's nothing we have to walk in as Christians that we have to do in our own strength. We do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So that means even if you're kind of wrestling with what I'm saying, if you will just put your faith and your trust in him, and even just pray a simple prayer, say, God, help me to grow in the word. But see, what happens is Jeremiah said, so first he found the words, right? So the first step is you got to find it. If you never start, you're never going to grow in it. Right, if we guys hear this message, oh yeah, that's a nice message, Pastor, okay, that's great, but we never actually start. No, that we would start in the word and that we find it, number one. Number two, then he ate them. So in other words, when you start, it may not be a joy and it may not be a delight, but you're going there. You're working there, you're growing there, because listen, your spirit hungers for the word of God. Your spirit hungers for the things of God. For many of us, it's just been on a starvation diet for so long, we can barely feel the hunger that's in there, right? We get filled with all these different things and all this different spiritual junk food and all this other stuff. Let's see, if we just make a decision, the starting point is, okay, I'm going to find the word and then I'm going to eat this word. In other words, I'm going to take this word into my life. And then it says, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. And I want to declare this today over you. God's word is living. It's powerful. It is God breathed. It is not going to return to him void. It is supernatural seed. But he's looking for sons and daughters who will obey and say, okay, I'm going to find it and I'm going to eat it. Yeah, but I'm just not feeling too much right now. Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. My job is to find it and to eat it. His job is to awaken joy and delight inside of me. Do you see that? Right? It's not my job to have to awaken the joy and delight. My job is just to find it and to eat it. Find it and eat it. Yeah, but I'm still not feeling anything. Doesn't matter. Find it, eat it. Find it, eat it, make it part of your daily routine. Find creative ways to make the Word of God part of your life. Find creative ways just to be in the Word and get the Word in you. And what God's promise is, guys, and this is a work of the Spirit in our lives, but he says if you will find it and if you will eat it, then the words will start to become a joy and they will start to become a delight of our heart. And not because God does some weird thing to change us, that's actually who we really are. It's just gotten covered up by a lot of the stuff in our world and a lot of the stuff of life. But who you really are on the inside is you're someone who hungers for the Word of God. Your spirit cries out for the Word of God. Deep cries out to deep. There is something inside of you that cries out. You know, the cry might be so silent, you don't even realize it's there right now. But if you will just find the Word and eat the Word and find the Word and eat the Word and find the Word and eat the Word, there will be an awakening inside of you. And in this awakening, there will be a joy and a delight in your heart. And so just as I bring to a close with that, I want to encourage you in that word. This week, even as we're in our time of prayer and fasting, and obviously our focuses have been, we're doing the Faith Fuel video, devotionals, where I'm going to be talking more about faith. We've got the prayer calls, but you know, this time in this prayer and fast, we didn't do as much like a Bible reading or something. And that's fine because different ones we're going to do it differently. But this week, will you find the word and eat the word? Right? Will you find it? Will you eat it? Because I just feel this. And I actually feel a prophetic unction on this today. The Holy Spirit is saying, if you'll find it and you'll eat it, I will take care of it becoming a joy. I will take care of it becoming a delight. And then you get on this crazy kingdom cycle because now it's a joy and a delight and you want to get into it more. And then as you get into it more, it becomes even more of a joy and a delight. And then it just keeps cycling that way and you just grow bigger, stronger, deeper, you keep moving forward. And your faith, right? Your faith goes to that next level. And your faith just begins to shoot through the roof. Why? Because you're hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So just in closing, I want to do? I mean, I mentioned last week, let me just get back to the action points. The action points is this. Number one, get a daily Bible reading plan. Right? Like this is where it just find it and eat it. Right, lots of times when I read my Bible, guys, I don't feel any goosebumps. I don't feel anything. But I know I'm feeding my spirit. I know I'm getting the Word of God in me. Get a Bible reading plan. That's point one. Start. Just get a daily habit of reading the Scriptures. Yeah, but I just, whatever. Well, Pastor, if I'm honest, I just read my Bible at night so I fall asleep. Well, you know, shift it around a little bit. But just get a daily Bible reading plan. Number two is develop a discipline of meditating the Word. Now, what I mean by meditating is don't just skim read. But take some time to think about it, to reflect. Have a conversation with someone else about it. Dig into it together. But take time, meditate in the Word of God. Hey, here's go. Go out this week and do a study on what biblical meditation looks like. Right? Because biblical meditation is very different than like kind of New Age meditation or whatever else. It's not about clearing your mind. It's actually about filling your mind with the Word. Right, but this is part of guys, like honestly, not about, we got Google. Like there's so many email and say, listen, I want resources, I'm diving into this. Right? That's part of this step up. Like in our church family, we're gonna have people who hunger for the Word and who are studying the Word and diving deeper. I mean, one of our church members this week sent me out of one of my video devotionals. They sent me kind of a revelation God had showed them about the centurion and when he came to Jesus, and it was powerful. I was like, I texted him back. I said, this is so good. That's what I want for all of us, right? The Holy Spirit wants to give revelation to all of us. Don't look at me as, oh, the Bible teacher. No, we all are called to know him, and we all have an opportunity to grow in our revelation of the Word. And so develop a discipline of meditating the Word. Number three, and this is connected, but develop a discipline of memorizing Scripture. I said it last week, memorizing scripture is not just for Sunday school or sword drills. Right? It's actually a powerful form of meditation, because if you memorize something, you're actually going over it and you're saying it and you're repeating it. Memorize scripture. And the last one is regularly listen to preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So if we take this concept, and we're gonna pray and we're gonna bring this to a close. And we're gonna jump on you. Take this concept, right? This message that I've just preached, it's not just a nice mental kind of gymnastical thought. Right? Like that fills my knowledge. Well, I'm glad I know more about the Word of God. Listen, as I've, not so much my words here, but God's words that I've spoken have power. Right? They have power. There's life in what's been said today. It's part of the foolishness of preaching. By declaring God's word, you think it wouldn't make that big of a deal, but by the foolishness of preaching, we see God's word, right? It's there. And so we've got the Word of God, and there's life in this message. So what if you went and listened to this message 7 times this week, every single day? Now, I know some of you are chuckling right now. I'm not trying to get our YouTube views up. That's not my point here. My point is, if there really is life in this word, if this word kind of lit something inside of you, if you listen to it again, and you listen to it again, because you're not just trying to get a mental concept, you're recognizing there's life in the word. And I'm not trying to say it's just my preaching. Get good preaching and teaching that's anointed and listen to it. Why? Because when the word of God is clear, and please make sure they're preaching the word of God, right? Like you don't go listen to a sermon when they never actually mention the Bible or mention a Bible verse. Like I'm all for talks and TED Talks and interesting things, but it's the word of God that has the power, guys. It's the word of God that has the power. And so if someone's going to preach the word, I want to see them preaching the word. Right? Don't preach a message you never crack open the Bible. Right? Get in the word and get the word in you. And if you do that, guys, you're going to grow and you're going to move forward. But here's this thing. I want to close with a prayer for each one of us today. I want to pray for you today because, again, we're going to walk in victory through this season. Y'all, a lot of the reports in the world right now are, okay, we're going closer to lockdowns, and mental health is going to start to deteriorate, and finances are falling off, and there's going to be isolation, and I know that's in the natural, so we need to pray for people in the middle of that, because that's very real. But here is my declaration. In the name of Jesus in this season, you are not going to struggle in your mental health, but in the name of Jesus, you're going to thrive in your mental health. In the name of Jesus in this season, you're not going to struggle with loneliness. Number one, because he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And you're just going to draw near to him. And you're going to see it as an opportunity to press into him. And then you're also going to get creative ideas from Holy Spirit on how can I connect with others. And I'm not so worried about just me, but I'm thinking, how can I serve and bless others in this season? What can I walk in? But see, in the middle of all this, he said, you're going to overcome through a spirit of faith. And so, Father, I just thank you today in the name of Jesus for a spirit of faith rising up. You said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in the name of Jesus today, I pray and I declare, Father, that hunger for the word, God, that desire for the word. I thank you as we find your word and as we eat your word, God, your words are becoming a joy. God, your words are becoming the delight of our heart in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for an awakening in our hearts of hunger for your word. And as we get in the word and the word gets in us, our faith begins to grow. Our faith begins to come stronger. And through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Lord, but it all starts with just a decision of quality in our lives and a desire and openness to you saying, God, help me to hunger for your word. And so I pray this. And I declare this over every person today. Come on, just put yourself in a posture to receive wherever you are. Just you're going to hold your hands up before the Lord or just whatever for you looks like a posture to receive. But Holy Spirit, we thank you today for a hunger and a thirst for your word. We love you so much today, Lord. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Come on, just take a moment before the Lord, just here and now. Because the Holy Spirit's working right now. Remember, find it, eat it. He will cause it to become a joy. He will cause it to become the delight of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And Father, we just agree right now as we are bringing things to a close today. We agree. God, just even all that's going on in the world around us, all that's going on in our city. God, we pray and continue to believe in Jesus' name, God, for even as cases are rising, we pray even supernaturally that cases will begin to drop. God, we pray for our leaders, God. With there's so much decisions and pressure, give them wisdom, Father. God, I pray that truth and righteousness will be established in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for our frontline workers, healthcare providers, doctors, nurses. God, just give them grace, give them strength, give them wisdom in this season. Father, and we thank you for this, Lord. Lord, we pray for people who are owning businesses and struggling or just in work. And God, thank you for your peace with them, your provision. We pray most importantly that this is a season for harvest. God, it's not just about this world, but it's about understanding the reality of eternity. And we thank you and declare it's a season of harvest in Jesus' name. And just as we close here, I want to ask if there's anyone watching who does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches us that God loves us with an everlasting love. We've been separated from that love by sin. But Jesus came, he died, and he rose again to free us from sin, to free us from the punishment of sin, because we all deserve punishment. We all deserve judgment. But Jesus came, and he said, listen, if you'll reject sin and you'll put your faith and trust in me, I'll forgive you. I'll set you free, and you'll be able to walk with me for all of eternity. And so if you're watching today and you know you need to give your life to Christ, or you know you need to give your life back to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again. Today I turn my back on sin and I commit my life to you. Fill me, free me, forgive me. My life is yours. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name,